You got the full Jerry Jones experience yesterday, so everything was weird and confusing and got totally misconstrued on social media, I think. But Jerry only has himself to blame. Welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Stop me if you've heard that one.
The full Jerry Jones experience involves the bus somehow. Like,
yeah, I don't want to get on
that. You just went
bus.
On a citywide tour on the Jerry Jones bus, basically, yesterday.
Yeah, no, I guess I'll take that back. I don't want the full Jerry Jones experience. I think a lot of those women probably signed NDAs. Anyway, I think we should keep it to the press conference from yesterday. I think we should talk about Micah Parsons, because Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, they were all talking about Micah Parsons. And Pearl, to be honest, and we'll spare our audience from having to listen to 55 minutes of Jerry Jones, a little Steven, and a little Brian Schottenheimer, but they were 99.9% complimentary of Micah Parsons. And then that sliver, because it's Jerry, and because he can't help himself, or I don't know what, shooting from the hip, always has to add a little something to it. So, Manny, can we hear cut one right off the jump here, where Jerry Jones, talking about Micah Parsons, and again, had been complimenting him all afternoon and has been complimenting him for months, but then takes this swipe.
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt six games last year. Seriously. I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out two-thirds of the year, Dak Prescott. So there's a lot of things you can think about when you, just as the player does, when you're thinking about committing and guaranteeing money.
Yeah, didn't need that, Jerry. Didn't need that as you're in a contract negotiation, because you know that, first of all, he wasn't even correct in his facts. That's how much he's shooting from the hip on this one. So sideswiping Micah Parsons, saying that he missed six games when he only missed four, saying that Dak missed two-thirds of the season when he missed eight games. It's just, you know, you took the unnecessary shot there.
The truth was there.
Okay, but here's the thing. You bought a football team. You didn't buy, you know, a China doll shop. You know, guys get broken. Like, this is the most physical sport. It's a collision sport. It's a contact sport. Yeah, guys are going to get hurt. You knew that risk in 1989 when you bought the team. And frankly, I'm surprised he didn't bring that up, because he brings it up in every other press conference of what a risky move it was to buy the Dallas Cowboys.
Isn't it incredible that Jerry Jones, the glitziest owner in the NFL, the most valuable franchise in sports possibly, is the cheapest dude that you'll ever run across?
But he's like, not, though.
But he regrets every dollar he spent. He regrets it. Yeah. I think he is. I think he does not like giving out these big contracts. I'm sure, you know, there's cash spending and cap spending. I'm sure he doesn't like the cash spending. It feels like he really does not like paying a lot of money for these players, and that's why it slowed down. You know, he grew up in Arkansas. I don't think he's like Steve Ballmer, I'm going to throw money around. He clearly has issues with the contracts he's already given out, so that's why maybe he's playing it slow here.
Then why does he always end up paying everyone at the very top of the market, including Dak Prescott, who he mentions and sideswipes in this soundbite?
He does it regretfully, I guess. I mean, this is clearly the case of, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same mistake over and over again. And why would we expect Jerry to change at all? So I saw all these stories yesterday. I'm like, nothing is going to change here. That's Jerry as usual. But let me ask you this theory I've been pushing, that Jerry just gets to go up to the press conference and say something, then somebody else behind the scenes is pulling the levers. If it was up to Jerry, he might not sign Micah at all, it sounds like.
Well, you're right about that, and they basically admitted it, and Jerry did, because he said, and Jane Slater asked him the question, have you talked to Micah Parsons' agent directly, right? Because a couple months ago, he said, I don't even know the guy's name, right? Which is always awesome to do, insult somebody when you're in a negotiation with them. And he said he does not talk to the agents. He lets his people do that. He goes, I talk to the principals, which in Jerry speak means he only talks to the players and the coaches. He doesn't talk to their agents. He also said, just as a fun fact, apparently if you're in a lawsuit with Jerry Jones, he doesn't speak to his lawyers, so you can just file that away. But no, he said, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time in my day to talk to every agent and do all the song and dance. So he's not talking to the agents, because Jane asked a good follow-up. People are going to wonder, why aren't you being more proactive if you are saying you want to get a deal done, and you have this impasse with whatever the details are? Why aren't you trying to be more productive and forceful and or not forceful, but you know, be more open to talking to the agent. He said he doesn't. He's not doing that.
I mean, bottom line, Jerry Jones doesn't want to pay $41 million for Micah Parsons, who he thinks is probably on the small side and will get hurt.
Then
and,
trade him.
But it's, he's not going to do that. You can't do that either. The Cowboys.
Who then? Like what? Yeah.
They're between a rock and a hard place on this contract. Well, yeah, because the odds are most of these high end contracts are not going to work out. This is the way the NFL is. It's kind of like baseball. Like TJ Watt just got $120 million. You think that's going to work out? The guy's 30. Sometimes you just have to pay your stars. And Jerry's like, why am I doing this? It always kind of ends up burning me.
Well, then, I mean, you're also getting a lot of the benefit here from having Micah Parsons on your team and owning the Cowboys. Like, if you don't think it's a good business model, then get out. But well, he hasn't. He bought the team for basically what seems like a song now, and he's got the most valuable franchise in maybe the world.
Well,
so
I'm
you can sell
that.
The team, too.
I'm saying from a cap standpoint, too, he paid Dak that money, and he's probably still living in regret over that.
Well, he could have paid Dak 2 years earlier and decided not to. All these wounds are self-inflicted, Pearl.
But
and
no, I mean, any money for Dak would have been. If he had paid him $50 million instead of $60 million, he still got hurt.
Well, move on then. Like
but that's now you're getting into something. Like he knows, but he can't. If you're the owner of the Cowboys, you can't not sign Dak Prescott. You can't not sign Micah Parsons. You can't not sign CeeDee Lamb. That's why, like, you have to be perfect around the edges of these players. And I think he's frustrated by the whole setup.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a part of it because he basically is one of the most influential owners in the league, if not the most. So he's written a lot of this language, or they negotiate it with the union. And to be honest, like, you drafted well in some of these spots. So that's the reward, is that you have good players. And what comes with that is they want big contracts. But I can't cry for the Cowboys, first of all, because, like, why would you ever? But secondly, you know, I can understand spending all this time talking about these contracts when it's the 49ers. And you are actually a Super Bowl contender who's gone to the Super Bowl, who's been in the fourth quarter of these games with a lead or overtime with a lead. And now we're like, wow, how are all the puzzle pieces going to work for this contender? What's exhausting about this is it's got the Cowboys aren't even close. You know, like, yeah, a couple 12-win seasons, and then you flame out in the first round of the playoffs or whatever, or, you know, you lose to a lower seed or whatever. You have home games that you lose. And I don't think people have the appetite for this when you're not a real contender. And I'm sorry for whatever, you know, Tyler Smith said the other day. They're not actually a realistic Super Bowl team. That's not true. And so I think that's part of it. I'm toying with the fact of making the Cowboys a playoff team, and even that is hard to talk myself into, let alone a Super Bowl contender.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have a really hard schedule. They have almost half their team seems either hurt or about to get hurt. It feels like somehow they missed their window because they're old and injured. Like, they're paying Parsons is the one shining star on this team. The rest of the team feels like you could just let them go, right? Like this. Now here's the one thing.
Yeah.
How did they build the 90s champion? How did they build the 2010s winning team? They got this awesome offensive line. So Jerry's going back to the well with that and hoping that all these first-round picks, because if you have a great offensive line, it's going to make everything better, and they're going to win 12 games again. Like, if those guys, if all the Tylers hit, the three Tylers, Tyler Smith, Tyler Booker, Tyler Guyton, then they could all of a sudden surprise everybody. So Jerry never changes. That's my point. Like, he is just doing the same thing over and over again. And how you still get frustrated in the year 2025 of our Lord, I don't understand.
Like, this is on behalf of the fans.
This is business as usual. By the way, I was just looking at the record. They've won more games than the Niners in the last 5 years, regular season games. So they can put together some regular season wins. Let's not throw too much shade at Jerry Jones.
Yeah, amazing. Regular season. Fantastic. Good for you. I love that we're playing for that in what'd you say, the year of our Lord, 2025.
Yeah.
Just a heads up, too, and this is where Jerry steps in it, and this is where having him at the podium, it's like, Jerry, he's the great showman. Well, not really, because in this day and age, things move real fast. And, you know, Jerry's 82. And I don't know if sometimes he realizes that there's, like, the world we live in. You and I are sitting here next to each other. People out there are listening to the sound of our voice. And then there's an online world that, whether you think it's hogwash or whatever, it's bad for us, all that stuff, well, it exists. So after Jerry's done talking in the regular world, on the online world, three-time defensive player of the year, J.J. Watt decides to weigh in, who's also working for CBS now, who basically is dripping with sarcasm as he tweets this. Anytime you can publicly take a dig at your star quarterback and your star pass rusher simultaneously right before the season begins, you got to take it. Nothing makes guys want to fight for you more than hearing how upset you are that they got hurt while fighting for you. And obviously that's where he's saying Jerry went off the cuff and said, of course, and said that, you know, just because I signed Micah Parsons to a huge deal doesn't mean he's going to be healthy. Hey, look what happened to Dak Prescott. And Micah Parsons retweeted it. So Jerry could have been 99% positive, but that one part gets on to social media, and now J.J. Watt breathes credibility into it and criticizes it, and it becomes a, not credibility, but he criticizes it in a public way. Micah retweets it, and now the positive stuff and all this that you've done means nothing. It's just, it disappears in the wind.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jerry does not care about the online world. But actually, that online, it's Twitter. Like, that's very small percentage of Cowboys fans even have access to that. I know it's making some headlines. I think Micah is enjoying this game with Jerry. It feels like Micah, you've seen Micah Parsons a lot of this. Like, he's sort of a mini Jerry Jones. Like, he loves the mic, and he loves mixing it up in this thing. You know how this is going to end. This is just sort of,
we all know
this
how
is
it's going to end.
Foreplay on the final contract.
Yes.
They are just messing around. And the fact that Micah Parsons jumped in there, I don't think it's a real bitter retweet of J.J. Watt. I think they're playing a game here, and it's going to end up with him overpaying Micah Parsons way too late. Again, why would we expect any different results? It's going to end up in possibly a promising regular season that'll fizzle out in the playoffs. Nothing's ever changing with the Cowboys until Jerry is done playing GM.
So Micah obviously, you know, retweets this J.J. Watt thing.
Yeah.
So you can see maybe he's a little bit, you know, salty. How would you take this? You're a star player for the Dallas Cowboys. You're in a contract brouhaha. You know you're one of the stars of the team. You're the number one topic in this hour-long press conference, and you're the number one topic now in the NFL, like, probably for the next week. And the guy you're sitting across from in the negotiating table...
I'm perfectly happy that we have Zimmerman.
...doesn't know your name.
Of all of the people that I've sat down with as a player... Of all the players that I've ever negotiated with, Michael Parsons is as savvy and knowledgeable and understanding of his financial business relative to football as any player I've ever been around.
What an amazing sense. I actually looked it up to make sure his real name wasn't Michael Parsons and maybe Micah was a nickname or something. The internet's telling
Michael
me it's Micah, not Michael.
All right, now you're just being mean a little bit, Maggie.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
You're the GM of the team.
I hear you. Like, okay. All right.
Okay, Anthony Perloff.
Yeah, what are you? I've never heard anything like that. You're going to praise the guy, and then call him the wrong name? That's whiplash.
I don't know. I mean, like, listen, these guys are older. Like, do you make fun of our presidents when they get names wrong? Like,
they
listen,
always do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, these they got to
the
give
jobs are kind of big. You know,
Jerry's 82. I'm going to give him full credit. I'm not going to dunk on him for that.
Showing up.
Like, I don't know. I feel like that dunk was unnecessary right there.
Michael Parsons.
Does that set the negotiation back?
He doesn't know David Mulugeta's name. I'm not concerned. At least he knows who Michael Parsons is.
I don't know his name.
Generally, we know who Mike. But maybe you're right, because Michael Parsons didn't know Mike Zimmer's name. Thought it would added a man at the end, Zimmer man.
Well, here's the, okay, bottom line. We can't take this whole situation too seriously. Like, I mean, you just said it. Like, the Cowboys have no chance to make the Super Bowl. What was it, Tyler Smith who said we're a Super Bowl team? It's not on the table then. Then why are we spending so much time on them? And actually, I want to, too. I'm not saying, like, what is it about this team that still draws us in?
Because they have a huge fan base, and this is important to people who are listening to the show.
No, I think it's more than that. I think it's fascinating. Like, I think Jerry is, even of all this, and even though he can't remember Micah Parsons' name,
I
think this is still, it's amazing. He's still interesting. It's an accomplishment. We could have gotten over this 10 years ago, Maggie.
Interesting. I think we need a different word.
I think it's interesting.
I said yesterday, and this came off sounding a little mean, and in retrospect, when the cut got clipped for social media, I was like, ooh, I sound a little mean there. I said I'd rather watch Roy McIlroy implode 100 times out of 100 than watch Scottie Scheffler win by 5 strokes every game.
Oh, I love that.
Every
one.
Tournament. And I realized, I'm like, ooh, I sounded like a jerk when I said it. But in some ways, like, is Jerry interesting, or are you tuning in for the potential implosion, the car wreck, the one comment that's going to be like, what did he say? I feel like more people are tuning in for that than for great lessons that he's imparting on the audience of his great business acumen.
Well, I think that he said something that all 32 owners are thinking, by the way, yesterday. That's the other thing. He's unfiltered. Like, you don't think every other owner is like, oh, my God, I can't believe I just paid $50 million a year for a guy who's playing eight games. That is, I guarantee 32 owners have the same exact thought. Jerry's just completely unfiltered. So that's interesting. Yeah, of course he's interesting. Okay.
Can we put the poll up? Is Jerry Jones still interesting? He's got the documentary dropping, too, which he made sure to mention yesterday.
Figure it out.
Yeah, I definitely think he is because, you know, this whole situation, again, there's no reason to expect different results, but it's just definitely fascinating. Like,
sorry, can we do that? Is Jerry still interesting?
Yeah.
He was interesting. I don't think he's still interesting.
All right. Really? Okay, let's see the poll results. The other thing, too, the team's not that bad. If they were the Browns and they were 3-14, then we could say, like, but you look at his depth chart, you're like, oh, okay. He's definitely done some good things. Like, who's done that? Who's
what do they have to show for it? It's professional sports.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's not the funny thing about it is not the biggest train wreck in the NFL.
Yeah,
not the Jags or the Titans or any of these teams.
Yeah, but, you know, they don't have the fan base or the expectations of the Jags or the Titans. And it's kind of like the New York Yankees or the LA Lakers or, you know, they're in that air where, you know, there were dynasties in the 70s and in the 90s. And people expect winning. And every year you don't win is seen as a failure by the fan base. And whether that's fair or not, that's their right. And Jerry sets that expectation. The Browns aren't setting that expectation. They're not the same.
Well, yeah, but I think if they were 3-14, we'd view this much differently. They're way well above 500 over the last 5 years. I mean, even last year they were terrible. They were 7-10.
Who cares? It's about winning. That's not. It doesn't matter. Regular season awards don't apply to teams like the Cowboys.
Well, that's why. But Jerry's still relevant enough because there are older owners who've run teams into the ground, like Leon Hess with the Jets, for example. Like, this is not exactly what's happening here, but there's still loads of talent on that team, right? I mean, if they could actually somehow get healthy, like, they would be really good. If you put all their players healthy, I mean, that's why Jerry's mad, too, because he knows these guys aren't going to stay healthy. Do you think Micah Parsons at that size is going to stay healthy for this contract? Probably not. So Jerry's at least speaking truth. I think he's still interesting. I vote yes.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. All right, so there you go. Jerry Jones, still interesting. And your thoughts on Jerry and about the Cowboys this year, because I was getting a little excited about them. I defended the George Pickens trade. I thought it was really good.
That's the X factor. You see those clips of him catching touchdowns in the end zone? Even I'm like a little nervous. I'm like, whoa, that, because I poo-pooed it when it happened.
You did.
And now I did see. He looks amazing in camp. For what it's worth, like, oh, my God. Will he keep it together? You know, he needs a contract. So if he doesn't get the targets, I'm expecting an implosion.
I've never had anything I wanted I couldn't get.
To be Jerry Jones. 888-710-4ISN. Okay, lots to do. He was not the only owner who was speaking yesterday. Owners taking their turn at the microphone. And also, Big Ten Media Days kick off today. And Perloff and I do not see eye to eye when it comes to one big thing about the reigning national champs, the Ohio State Buckeyes. You're going to hear from Ryan Day later today. So much to do. It's Maggie Perloff.
Michael Parson. I don't know his name.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show. We're diving into the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones, by the way. Jerry Jones was up at Oxnard. I don't understand. Like, this guy will still... It doesn't matter how old he gets. He will still be running an hour-long press conference. And he will still never run out of things to say. It does not. This whole August, he's going to get more press conferences. Remember, he pulled back a little bit last year and didn't go to one of the owners' meetings or didn't speak at one of the owners' meetings. He's fully back.
And the combine, I think.
What's that?
And the combine.
Oh, right. It was the combine where he didn't speak. Well, he's fully back and saying things that are getting him in trouble. But it's not going to mean anything. We're going to have the same Cowboys team we always have where there's promise. But it's not going to go anywhere where they want. They're going to give Micah Parsons too much money. My question is he still interesting? I think so. I'm still tuning in. And even Maggie, you said he's not interesting, but admit it. You have to take a glance over there.
Yeah, but, you know, to be honest, like, I wish another owner would step into the Jerry Jones, like, role.
I think
you
that's
know?
Hard to do. I mean, I think he's one of one.
No,
I mean,
who's
even a potential?
I know.
Mike Brown says some crazy stuff, but...
like, who's, you know, at some point in the NBA, like, Mark Cuban came along, right? And he was, like, the new guy on the block who was saying crazy stuff and calling out the league. And, like, it was fun and, you know, and gave us reason to think, we need new blood here. Like, who's going to be the young owner who's actually going to start, you know, saying interesting things?
Well, you know, I saw one of the Irsay kids said something the other day. They're stepping into that role. Maybe, you know, the Irsay family.
The daughters.
They have a history of doing things. But I don't know. Like, Jerry's one of, you know, you can't recreate Jerry. An Arkansas oil man who played GM for 40 years and won 3 Super Bowls. Like, there's a lot going on here. And you can even say this is not interesting. And I said, like, nothing's going to change. But admit it. You have to watch this.
So Jerry basically stepped in it yesterday because he was being very effusive in his praise for Micah Parsons. But then he did call him Michael. But then at one point says, well, you know, I could pay him. And it doesn't even mean he's going to be here, just like I did with Dak Prescott. And so obviously that created, it felt like a dig. Bill is in Houston. Bill, this is looking very familiar to you with another NFL owner. Who is it?
Well, I just feel like the Cowboys are always going to be in the Jones family. And I've had the unfortunate pleasure of sitting through the Houston Oilers and sitting through the Dallas Cowboys. With the exception of Jimmy Johnson, the Cowboys have been it's like you go to a football game or you follow the Cowboys. And I think part of it for their fans is they know it's like watching a car race from the stands, and you're there to see the talent. Also, know there might be a wreck,
right?
And that's how I feel about the Cowboys. Same way with the Oilers. I just feel blessed that the Texans realized how stupid they've been doing things, and they got a great GM, they got a hot new head coach. And Cal McNair turned the corner with how he ran the team. And so it's exciting down here. But, I mean, my goodness, the Cowboys, I was in my early 30s when they won their Super Bowl, to let you know how old I am. That's a long time ago.
Bill, age is just nothing but a number, though, sir. Thank you so much for the call.
I totally agree. D'Amico Ryan's easy on the eyes, I assume, calling him a hot coach.
Well, I think he meant more of, like, you know, like, man, up and coming.
He can be whatever he wants. Yeah. We're the Maggie and Perloff show. We are not afraid to rate the head coaches on how good looking they are.
Slim Pickens.
Yeah, really? Matt LaFleur's got a fan base.
A fan base.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're called just Packer people.
Oh, I don't know. I've heard women evaluate it. Kevin Stefanski's a pretty solid B+.
Kyle Shanahan's pretty good looking.
Kyle Shanahan with that beard, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that the men on the show are driving this conversation.
Yeah. I'm like looking here like I just sucked on a lemon. I'm like, oh, guys. I'm just kidding.
I mean, D'Amico Ryan, come on. That facial structure?
Listen, they got some major questions this upcoming season. The AFC
cheekbones and a 3-4 defense. The perfect combination.
I know.
Yeah. He looks like he can run out there and play. Like, I love that he still clearly goes to the weight room with the players. And is it,
yeah, he's young enough that he can do that and not break every bone in his body.
Yeah. All right, I got you sidetracked here. Where were you going to go with?
I was going to say something about my favorite memory of Bud Adams. But no, let's keep talking about D'Amico Ryans, the former Titans owner, right? And he moved the team. The Oilers owner, and he moved the team. He once was at a Bills game and gave the crowd the finger. I think he must have been Jerry's age. He was like in his 80s. And it was like a Titans win over the Bills. And he gave everyone the finger. The owner.
Which one?
The middle one, Manny.
Oh.
He couldn't give him the ring finger because he don't have that. But he could give him the middle. Neither do the Bills. Don't I know it. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines and all the latest and greatest. What's up,
guys? Right. Michael Parson.
Before you start, a quick internet search says that Dave Canales is getting a lot of momentum as the best-looking head coach. Okay, good. Yeah. Proceed, sorry.
Headlines are sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at progressivecommercial.com.
Deeper.
Dear Memphis Tigers, I know your pain. According to CBSSports.com, the school offered the Big 12 at least $200 million in sponsorship deals for a spot in the conference or a seat in the car to San Antonio or a diaper for Wrigley, but the league gave the school a quick and firm no.
Wait, hold on one second. You're offering friendship.
Yeah.
Good times.
Bogish is upset because not only has Perloff on his big road trip to San Antonio consistently said that Andrew Bogish is not welcome on said road trip, he'd rather go it alone.
No. He'd rather go with a lot of people before me.
Yeah, solo is one, then like four other people who have said no, and then maybe you. So that's got you salty. And then yesterday, we kind of were workshopping a show trip to Wrigley because Perloff was saying at Wrigley Field, it's okay for adults to wear diapers.
It's required.
Because you drink so much. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? You can't waste time going to the bathroom in that old stadium because it's going to cost you too many innings. And
too much further beer drinking.
And we said, well, the four of us on the show, two drink, two don't. And Bogish got mad at that.
Right, because there's five people in the room right now.
But to be fair, you're not offering us nine figures like Memphis is offering the Big 12.
I can't believe it costs $200 million to get into the Big 12?
No, it's going to cost more than that. The Big 12 said no.
No, I cannot believe that this game. Does that mean, because off that $200 million, they immediately start recouping that money off the TV deal, right? Is that how it works? So they know they're going to get a big chunk of that back.
Well,
does anybody else see that number be like, to get into the Big 12? Are you kidding me?
As I'm sure Bogus is going to detail here because he's got all the latest. They said they won't even take any revenue for the first 5 years.
That's what you did.
Right.
And they're still doing.
And they also said that...
That was to join the ACC.
Yes, to join ACC,
The conference would have an out if they're not contributing, then they could just kick them out. So, like, all that money, that's one of the most insane headlines I've ever seen.
And they didn't apparently even think about it, the Big 12. They're just like, nah, we're good. Like, it wasn't like a deliberation or let's see some Excel spreadsheets. They're just like, no thanks.
Who gets all this money? Like, that's the other thing. Like, so what kind of junkets are the administrators going to do off of this one?
I wasn't sure reading it if they actually meant we're going to give you $200 million or that we can bring in $200 million of business with us. So it wasn't a straight payment. It was more like, here are the opportunities that we already have that we can bring to your operation. And they were still like, nah.
Basically, they said, everyone who's going to join the Big 12, take a step forward, not so fast, Memphis. It was like very...
No, not you.
Solid no. Yeah.
Well, they've been trying to get to a bigger conference with basketball for a long time.
Yeah.
They're like the last school that's kind of stuck in the AAC, and they hate it there.
Ooh. Did you get that news yesterday? They are no longer the AAC. Now they're just American Conference.
Oh, Jesus.
And that's not even the best. Well, that's the story. So, yes, that's the setup. Did you guys see the extra part of the story?
I did.
No.
The conference now has a mascot.
Mm-hmm. A conference?
Soar
the bald eagle.
What?
Soar the bald eagle?
Yep.
I don't know what he's going to do or what. But the conference
now... He's
not
going to the Big 12.
Whatever he's doing, he's doing. Yeah, he's sticking at the American. He's going to rah-rah the American conference. It's a bald eagle. The conference now is a mascot. And I was trying to think, if you were the SEC or the Big 10 or the ACC, what should your mascot... If it's the SEC, it's got to be like a bank vault.
Oh, I was going to say like a sorority building or something, or a fraternity building.
Delta, Delta, Delta?
Yeah.
I mean, the funny thing is, Memphis is not bad. Like, they've been pretty good at football. Like, Justin Fuente, remember that run? And they had a lot of first rounders. Like,
how about John Calipari was their basketball coach?
Yeah.
Penny Hardaway is their coach right now.
And he leads the NCAA in fractions.
But I mean, in the real sport, though, football, like, I think they're a bit of a powerhouse. Like, if they got into a big conference and started paying money, they have $200 million to give. They had Mike Norvell, too, was there. I feel like they could be good. I don't know really what's going on here.
I assume it's because they look at the Tennessee market and they say, well, Tennessee has this on lock. So if you're in the Big 12, do you really need Memphis if you don't feel like you can really make any inroads in that state?
But Tennessee's one of the fastest growing states of the country.
I know.
It feels like there's plenty to go around. I've actually never been to Memphis.
I have not either, but you got to watch out, obviously, for up-and-comer Vanderbilt, who now is with Diego Pavia.
Watch out for them doors.
Is it a bad school? Because every once in a while, these conferences are also like, you don't meet the academic standards that we liked. Is it not a good enough school?
I think it's fine. I don't think it's good or bad.
But that has come up at times.
Oh,
like,
I know.
They want certain like accreditations and like all this kind of stuff. Because it doesn't make sense that Memphis, as you said, EJ, has not been picked up by somebody.
Right.
Like we joke about all of these Utah states and New Mexico states and Fresno double state, all these schools go back, bouncing back and forth, and Memphis has been stuck in this league, you think people would have pounced on them. So there's got to be something about mm-hmm. them that has made them less appealing than schools we didn't know were playing Division I football.
Listen, you got a mascot now in the American. This is not the time to leave. You've got a bald eagle mascot. This is the time to stay.
Is it an actual eagle? Or is it some dude dressed as? That's disappointing.
Well, I think it's only a concept right now. I don't know if they've hired or built the suit.
See, that's the problem. If it was an actual eagle, and then we had the Eagle 1 and Eagle 5, like we actually saw the eagle progress, that would be kind of cool.
Like Wait. Auburn.
Yeah, like Uga. Or they like a, Butler Blue.
They don't exactly have, they have the concepts of a plan.
I mean, I saw a graphic yesterday. I didn't see a person in a suit waving his arms at headquarters in, I think, Frisco, Texas.
Well, Frisco.
Yeah, I think that's where they are now. The American.
On board. Big Ten, SEC, you're up. Need
big,
a mascot.
Big Ten just be a big piece of steak. That's meat country.
What else? You got?
In non-Michael Parsons NFL news, the Packers have signed right tackle Zach Tom to a four-year extension, which reportedly includes a $30.2 million signing bonus, which would be a record for an O-lineman. And the embattled Lloyd Howell has stepped down from a second job. The former NFLPA executive director is resigning from that part-time gig at the Carlisle Group, which was part of his issues at the union. At the very least, we could make the Phillies earn any victories they get.
Well, that pitch just a bit outside.
That catcher's interference?
I that's a good question. The Phillies are going to look at it. Mike Calitri went running off his chair. And Mundo pointed right away.
That'd be a weird way to end the game.
John Crook wasn't wrong on Phillies TV. First time since August 1st of 1971 that we got a walk-off catcher's interference. Edmundo Sosa's check swing, getting a piece of Boston catcher Carlos Narvaez's glove. The Phillies had to challenge the play to get the call, and the 3-2 win in 10, the bases were loaded. So Sosa, being awarded first base, pushed in the winning run. The details do not matter to Zach Wheeler.
Sosa, he loves the big moment, and it's not what we probably pictured, but we got the job done, and we got the win.
Okay, now, Sosa loving the big moment does not apply. This is not clutch for accidentally hitting the other guy's glove on a check swing.
By any means necessary, Bogish.
Listen, Zach was, in the heat of New York City, moving a stroller in 95-degree heat, and I saw it personally. I'm going to give Zach a break on weird comments.
What is he, the Eagles in a Super Bowl drought?
Just saying. I was out there walking in New York City during the All-Star break, and I see Zach Wheeler moving around a stroller and having a baby in his arm, and I was like, oh, this guy's working. Everybody thought he was just taking a vacation during the All-Star break, and he wasn't. So maybe he comes back and he's a little, he's got not the rust off when it comes to post-game comments.
I'm sorry, are you giving him credit for parenting? He's a parent.
Listen,
you don't get extra credit for being a guy pushing a stroller. That's just called the job.
He's a millionaire. He could get anybody to do that.
It's your kid. You got to push the stroller every now and then, even if you're a billionaire.
Why can't he push it himself?
He is pushing it himself. I'm saying you don't get credit for that. Oh, the baby. Yeah, get out there, baby.
No, I'm saying most guys in an All-Star break were on a beach. This guy was on the hard concrete of New York City.
The concrete jungle of his stroller?
Why is he in New York, too?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Well, he played here for a while, so.
And he has a place here still?
Probably. I assume that's why he was here.
Shocker, millionaire has a place in New York City.
Maybe Mrs. Wheeler's from here.
I think we're all burying the lead. We're talking about mascots now. The American Conference has their own mascot. Perloff sent us an update yesterday. I didn't know the Philly Fanatic, there was a woman accompaniment to the Philly Fanatic. Phoebe Fanatic?
Well, listen, if you're talking about what happened last Saturday night, this is... Philly Fanatic was caught in a way he shouldn't have been caught. Let's just put it this way.
Yeah,
there was a fan
cam
shot of Philly Fanatic. That was not meant to get out there, Maggie.
Were they at a Coldplay concert?
They were playing Coldplay, and the fan cam caught Philly Fanatic with his arm somewhere they should not have been. And
where's his little waggy tongue?
So there's a female fanatic named Phoebe Fanatic that they use all the time.
Mm. Just found that out yesterday, by the way.
Didn't know.
But then, I don't know if this was Phoebe, though, because Manny did a Google search, and Phoebe is his mom?
Yeah, that's right. I immediately Googled Phoebe Fanatic because I had never heard of this woman before in my life. And the first thing that I see is Phoebe Fanatic is the mother of the Philly Fanatic.
Oh boy.
And they were, well, they were canoodling.
Yeah.
And it was not.
But I don't know if that's Phoebe then. Maybe I jumped the ladder of inference.
You think that's Ursula Fanatic?
Is there someone named Ursula Fanatic?
Well, that's just a play on from Friends. Phoebe's twin is named Ursula, but I digress.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, right. Deep cut right there.
Pretty popular show.
Yeah, man.
I think people would get that, actually.
I didn't.
Went way over my head.
Yeah. Oh, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I mean.
Old rocks.
But there's an entire generation of 20-somethings who've watched every episode of Friends 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Like yours truly.
Okay, so Phoebe Fanatic is the female. Now, listen, female might be a strong word. There are actually no body parts on the Fanatic. It's just a giant green mound.
Listen, her gender is her business.
Yeah. Have you guys ever...
Her pronouns are her business.
You guys ever met the Fanatic?
I have.
Yes, I have.
Have you ever had him do the put the zoot thing on your nose?
No. It's intoxicating.
Or your head?
It's intoxicating.
I've had him stick his tongue out at me. It was very rude.
Best mascot ever. After Maggie canceled the San Diego Chicken.
That's all we got left.
I'm sorry. I thought the mascot got wrapped up in a Me Too scandal. I was wrong. Sue me.
How physically would that have even worked? I mean, are you thinking they Me Too Philly Fanatic? Because he came out, you know, his famous move is he takes his belly and he starts grinding it on you.
Well, that kind of gesture is going to get you kicked out of most places, Pearl.
The Phillies website has his official measurements. So you guys want to guess what the Philly Fanatic's waist
68.
Measurement is?
84.
When was...
like 120.
When did the Phillies get established? 86.
The Phillies have been around since 1886
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, I know.
So, you're going to 86. Yeah. Okay. But
90,
that's not...
90 inches.
Ooh, I was closest. I win. Showcase showdown, baby.
But I don't think it's because of the... Whatever.
You know? How big are his feet?
No feet measurements here, but 300 pounds.
Smaller than yours, though. Yeah. For Maggie.
I mean, well, that's a given. My feet are gigantic. Hey,
can I ask you guys a question? When the Coldplay thing happened, did you guys think of, should we try and do something as the Maggie and Perloff show? Where, I mean, obviously, Maggie and I doing the Coldplay thing would be way too confusing.
That's how rumors get started, Perloff. Yeah. We don't need that.
But did you guys think, like, you know, everybody's doing some kind of skit off of this. Should we try something?
Well, we got to leave Bogus out of it.
Because we leave him out of everything?
Right.
Yeah. Right. There was somebody texted, made Manny and Jalen Brunson.
Manny made that photo show.
Manny made that.
I thought that was Cap.
No.
Manny did it himself.
Oh, yeah.
And he finally had a use for it. It's been sitting in his inbox for weeks.
First of all, that's very disrespectful to Cap. I mean, that was just basically cut and paste job. Cap would have had a full...
It was like a ransom note.
The craftsmanship was not up to Kaplan's standards.
Must have been magazine letters.
You know what app I use? I didn't use Photoshop. I used the Instagram app and just started layering three pictures. That's what I did.
All right, put it on the Maggie and Pearl X feed, please, and Instagram so everyone can see what we're talking about.
But it never crossed your mind, Maggie, that we should try some kind of sketch? No?
Not even a little. And then I got wrapped up so much in the golf farter, I had no more, like, bandwidth for anything else. Those were the two competing stories that both went viral basically at the same time, that the couple got caught at the Coldplay concert having an affair. And then there was someone who farted into a mic in the British Open.
Yeah.
And that went viral. Well,
Around a mic. Yeah. I don't know if it was directly in situation. But I mean,
If it wasn't, that was even more impressive earthquake of a fart than we could have ever imagined.
I say Coldplay is one of the most important cultural events in the last, I don't know, 200 years. That has taken over everything.
It was the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And then
the golf farter, I'm sorry, it was a big deal. But the Coldplay thing, like... That is basically taking American culture and history in a different direction than we ever expected.
Thank you, Chris Martin.
I think Hawk to a Girl directly led to Coldplay thing.
So do you think the couple that got caught are suddenly going to be throwing out the first pitch at baseball games like Hawk to a Girl was?
I don't know. I saw an Oasis concert where one of the Gallaghers went on a long rant about how we're not going to put the camera on you so you can cheat on your wife.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
And ticket prices skyrocketed.
No, we got to do something.
Cheating couples just can't get out like they used to.
Now Maggie's not into it, I'm more tempted to come up and write it. Someone's got to write a sketch.
No. Or sure. I just don't want to be in it.
Oh.
Boo.
Guys, we got to get to a break. Okay, lots to do. Bogues, thank you so much. We've got more nickname brackets, sports nicknames to reveal to you today. We also have a question about Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes, and we're going to answer that next.
Come on, man.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. You hear that music, that means it's time to reference Coldplay and the executive from, what's the company called? Astronaut?
Astronomer.
Astronomer.
Do they have anything to do with the stars? I've actually have not bothered to Google what astronomer does.
No. Neither have I.
Anyway,
I think we got the gist of what's going on at that company.
Funny enough, Coldplay has a song called All the Stars.
Of course.
I think this scandal will last for years. I think this is going to be a cultural touch point. You mean like the guy who was caught at the concert? Because I've actually often been fascinated by this, the kiss cam. Like what's actually going, I mean, a kiss cam comes up at a game and you immediately wonder, what's this relationship like?
Yeah, people have had a lot of fun with the kiss cams too, right? Like someone will bring like a sign to a game. It's like, it's my sister, you know, or they've had fun with it and or people taking it the other way where they will do some really explicit stuff on the cam, which is like definitely not safe for work or kids or anything. So, you know, people get really creative.
Yeah. I mean, there was an episode of Modern Family where Ty Burrell's character was standing next to Sofia Vergara and she kissed him and it became a big scandal. It's very awkward. I'm glad I never got in that spot. I mean, my favorite part is when the camera goes up. There was, remember about 8 years ago when the floss became a big thing?
Yeah, of course.
Then all of a sudden, 20,000 kids started flossing, hoping the camera would come to them. that was always entertaining. Yeah, I'm a big camera guy.
What would you do or what have you done when the Jumbotron camera gets on you?
I can't do it. I freak out. I do
you
not.
You got nothing? You don't have move?
Well, if it's... No, I don't know what to do. Like, am I... You guys have a move? Have you thought
Absolutely.
About this?
Absolutely. Yes, I have a move.
Because I've sat in the front row with EJ before.
Oh, yeah. You're right in Jumbotron.
Yes. And it's terrifying. I kind of hide. Man. I hide like the guy in the Coldplay video. I do not want to be part of it.
Yeah, well, that guy, he dove for cover.
Wait, I can't believe this. You don't strike me as somebody who'd want to be on the Jumbotron either.
I've been on the Jumbotron one time at Yankee Stadium and twice at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, what did you do?
Well, then we had to wave to the crowd because we were kind of like doing this thing. But if I were there as just a regular, as a fan, there's one move and one move only. And I'm sorry because I don't think you can do it and AJ wouldn't be doing it either. You got to chug the whole beer. That's the one and only move for the Jumbotron that the crowd gets into. Whatever you're holding, you just got to down it.
And you did this?
No, I'm saying this is what I would. I've been on the Jumbotron twice at Yankee Stadium, but we had to wave to the crowd because it was for... I was there once representing this incredible foundation that supports ALS, so I didn't think that was the right time slam my beer.
I'm talking about the real camera. I'm talking about like the fan cam, not some prearranged thing. What would you say you would chug a beer? Like, what are you, a lineman for the Packers? How are you going to pull?
All linemen for the Packers in that moment.
All right, Manny, EJ, can you guys see Maggie Gray pulling that off in a stadium?
No, not even a little bit.
It's the
you
only
weigh
move.
About 97 Correct. Pounds. You're going to chug an entire beer on camera, like one of those big stadium beers? Get out of here.
She's going to be a quarter of the way through, and she's going to be obliterated.
It's got to go all over you. It doesn't matter, you know? You just got to do it for the look.
Yes.
Yeah, you got Stone Cold Steve Austin, that thing.
But you see, here's the thing, though. I drink whiskey, so I just be down in the whiskey whenever that...
Now, Manny, it's whatever's in your cup has got to get drained.
Manny could pull this off. I do not believe, and maybe we should do this fall. I do not believe you can pull this off, Maggie.
Do you just don't think I can chug a beer?
On demand with 60,000 people. It's not just chug any beer. On camera, like with everything that implies. No, I think maybe in a controlled setting you can chug a beer if you're prepared. But you don't even know if the camera's coming on you, then boom, it's on you, and you're going to just down that bad boy.
So I've been thinking about it.
We're bringing beer to work?
Got to...
We
can
do it after work. We don't have to do it during the show.
We can just say it's Gatorade.
I will happily, as a social media video, when we're not talking across the country where it's discouraged to drink beer at this job while we're doing the job, I will gladly chug a beer.
All right,
got to
see it. She ate a full pizza for a former show and immediately threw up everywhere. So I can't wait to see this.
I can. I'm not saying you're thrown up on. Like your wife Perloff.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
I know, Perloff's wife got puked on in Philadelphia. That's not cool.